Good morning, everyone. Cuba, sit down. We'd like to welcome you here today at Midway Church of Christ. We're so glad everyone was able to come in and be with us in person, and those who are not in person, we're glad to have you as well online. Especially want to welcome any visitors that we have here. My wife and I and my family haven't been here that long, but we sure enjoy this congregation. It's a good place to be if you're looking for a church home. Quick reminder, if you would fill out the little cards that are in the pews in front of you, fill those out, and at the right time, you'll be instructed where to pass those so we can collect them. Members and visitors, please. This time, we're going to go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started with our service. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for what you've provided for us today, for this building, for this comfortable place to sit and worship. Father, thank you for this family, this church family, Lord, that you've constructed in the way you have to where we can depend on one another and be here for one another. Father, we're so very blessed to know you and to live where we live and to have the freedoms we have, Father. And we can only thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for our existence. Thank you for the jobs that we have and the functions that we're able to perform, Father. You provide everything. Lord, we pray that our worship will be uplifting and acceptable in your sight, Lord. Please put on our hearts an open mind and willingness to learn your word and to take away something from this service to help us help you. Thank you so much, Father, for your Son, and it's his name we pray. Amen.
I don't know how many of you at home heard that. That was my niece. With a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the funky. I did something a little different, so keep an eye out.
Lord, make me a servant. Lord, make me like you, for you are
Russell's lesson this morning is from Acts, the 10th chapter. And our scripture reading this morning is from Acts 10, verses 34 through 43. If you have your Bibles, you would like to turn and follow along as we read those verses. The 10th chapter of Acts is all about a man named Cornelius. He was a Gentile, as we are. He was a centurion, a very accomplished military man. But more than that, he was a good man, a very devout and God-fearing man who feared God and prayed much to God. God, for that reason, sent a messenger, an angel, to him in a vision and asked him to send for Peter, Simon Peter the apostle. He did that, and beginning in verse 34, when Peter arrived to preach the gospel to him, this is what we read. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging him on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and of the dead. To him, all the apostles, to him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins."
Can you see everyone here this morning? It's about the size of a isn't it good to be a Christian? I almost forgot. I have been having memory problems lately, so it's about the size of a fist. They say in the span of a lifetime, the human heart will beat about 2.5 billion times. We all know how essential a heart is. And hearts are fascinating when you think about what they do and what they accomplish. You look in the world of the animal kingdom, and there's some fascinating displays of hearts. A hummingbird's got a heart that beats very rapidly, and it's small. A blue whale has a huge heart. A frog's heart has three chambers. You can look up a lot of information about hearts. One thing is for sure, hearts are essential. Without that heart beating, there's not life. It's important. In fact, we often will refer to things metaphorically about the heartbeat of a school. I read some educational articles recently, and it said the heartbeat of the school are the counselors. You'll hear other people say the heartbeat of the school are the kids, are the staff. What is essential to make that place what it is? Bear Bryant, a famous football coach, has this quote: "I'm just a plow hand from Arkansas, but I've learned how to hold a team together, how to lift some men up, and how to calm others down, until finally they've got one heartbeat together, a team. There's just three things I'd ever say. If anything goes bad, I did it. If anything goes semi-good, we did it. If anything goes real good, then you did it." That's all it takes to get people to win football games for you. But what he was striving for is for the team to have one heartbeat. God is working in us to build us up, to calm some people down, to get us to be united and to have the same heartbeat, to have the same mindset. But what is the heartbeat of the church? We've been looking at the cross culture and looking at things from Jesus to his disciples, and then the New Testament church as it's revealed in the book of Acts, to look at the blueprint, the pattern of what our culture is to be about. And part of our culture is understanding what the heartbeat is to be. And when we get there, as a team, we will do amazing things in the community around us. We will truly be salt and light. But what is the heartbeat? This morning, I want us to consider five heartbeats of cross-cultural disciples in Acts chapter 10. What are we all about? What does this chapter reveal to us about the heartbeat for us as disciples and the church? First of all, seek God with a devoted heart. There's a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. The story is about him, a good man, but a lost man, a centurion that was called the Italian regiment, a devoted man, one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to people and prayed to God always. He was a devout man. He was devoted to seeking God. He was not a proselyte of Judaism, but he was trying to practice things that he thought was right with God. And he did good things, but he was still lost. You can do good things. You can be sincere. You can even be good in the eyes of the world, but you can still be lost. He was lost, but because he was devoted, centered all his life and actions around seeking God, God's going to give him the blessing of eternal life. He wasn't going to find it where he was looking. He was going to find it where God was going to point him. The answer wasn't going to be in Judaism. The answer was going to be in Jesus. It wasn't going to be in the old covenant. It was going to be in the new covenant. And get this, he wasn't seeking to be saved. He was seeking God. Some people seek to be saved. What we need to make sure that we're seeking is God. Focus on God. I've said it several times here recently. Gaze on God and glance at the world. Gaze on God and glance at your problems. Gaze on God. Fix your eyes on God. Know God. Understand from Scripture who God is. And in your life, focus on Him. Paul said, I care very little if I'm judged by you, 1 Corinthians 4, or by any human court. I don't even judge myself. God is my judge. He could care less about what he thought or what other people thought. What was he centered on? Seeking God's approval. He wanted to make sure that he was right with God. What are you seeking in your life? Is it financial security? Is it a better job? Is it a better city? Seek God. Focus on Him first. Jesus said, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and everything else is going to be given to you. What are you seeking? Seek God. So, God reveals to him, look, you need to send your men to Joppa. There's a guy there that's going to tell you what you need to know to be right with me. An angel communicates it to him. And so he goes and tells his men everything that God revealed. And he sends them to Peter, who's in Joppa, about 30 miles away. He's staying with Simon the Tanner, kind of an unclean profession. And he is up on the roof, and he is hungry, and he's going to go into a trance, and now God's going to communicate with him, and God's going to move him from where he is to a new place. And so we see the second heartbeat. Follow God with an open heart. And the voice spoke to him again a second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken away. So what happens to Peter? He has a trance, and there's a picture of a big blanket that comes down from heaven, and it's got all kinds of creatures on it. And many of them are unclean, and God says, kill and eat. The guys on Duck Dynasty like that scripture, right? Kill and eat. And he says, no, Lord. Does he have an open heart? No. He says, I can't do that. I can't eat those unclean things. And God says, what I have made clean, they're not uncommon. And so Peter learns God is no respecter of persons. Things are changing. It's not going to be about the old covenant. It's going to be about the new covenant. It's not going to be about law. It's going to be about grace. And guess what? Peter has to change from being traditional to being grace-oriented. He has to change from being legalistic to grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's going to take him to a place that he didn't necessarily foresee, and he's got to have an open heart. All of us have to follow God with an open heart, because there are times where we're going to say, ooh, I can't do that. And maybe God wants us to move in that direction. Are you willing to move? Abraham, I want you to move. He moved. What about us? When God calls, do we have the kind of heart that says, okay, I'm going to trust God regardless. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your steps. Peter, at first, his first knee-jerk reaction was, he was leaning on his own understanding. I can't eat that. But God shows him, yes, things are changing. And then God makes it very evident in the text that this is a God thing. And he says, look, there's three guys down there waiting on you. And so God is showing him, not only is he's not talking about necessarily the food. He's talking about Gentiles being open to the gospel. Up until this time, the gospel is taken to the Jews. It was taken in the chapters preceding this to people that might be unlikely or questionable. The Ethiopian, Paul. And now he's going to convert a Gentile. It's going to be a big shift. It's going to be a culture shock. It's going to be a difficult thing for a lot of people to face. But he starts here slowly, and Peter follows him with an open heart. In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17, it says, "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go." God is leading you. Will you follow? There's an old illustration we used to use in youth ministry where you would have a person leading and you would tell them to lead the group, and you would tell the people in the group, when they start leading you, just stop. And that person keeps going and they start walking backwards. That's what we do a lot sometimes with God. He's trying to lead us, and we start walking backwards and going the opposite direction. We have to follow God wherever He leads us. And sometimes we might not feel comfortable about something. Sometimes we may need to change things. Are we going to follow God? In the New Testament church, the cross culture of that day, the blueprint for us in Scripture is we got to have open hearts. We've got to be willing to accept what's new and what God wants us, where God wants us to go. He will lead us into great places. We have to sometimes get our worst enemy is the stinking thinking we got up here. And sometimes God is trying to get us away from that. Also, whatever we withhold from God, He's going to try to get from us. Some of us get to a place where we're satisfied with where we are spiritually, and God's trying to get us to move. Will we follow? That's one of the heartbeats of the church. Third heartbeat. Listen to God with a ready heart. Just one verse here. So, as sent, Cornelius is talking to Peter. Peter comes to his house. He explains his vision and the angel talking to him. And so I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. We're here and we're ready to listen. The Bereans were a more noble character because they received the word with readiness, and they searched the scriptures diligently to make sure what they were being taught was true. I hear a lot of people quote that verse and they just talk about searching the scripture diligently and leave out the first part. They received the word with readiness. They were ready. When you came this morning, are you ready to receive what God has to say to you? When I open my Bible, am I ready to receive it? That's the attitude God wants us to have. Cornelius was ready and his whole household is there. People are there because they want to know what God has to say. That's part of the heartbeat. We've all got to be on that same page. Ready? Speak, Lord. I'll listen. Whatever you got to say, I'll do. He was ready to receive it and ready to act on it. He wanted to know what God had to say. God had told him, I'm going to tell you what you need to know, and he's ready. That's one of the heartbeats of the church. Are we ready? Sometimes we're not ready. Sometimes we don't want to hear it. Sometimes we may look at scriptures that give us peace and comfort and strength, but we don't want to go certain places because we really don't want to be challenged. What kind of heart do we have? A heart that's ready for whatever God has to say. A ready heart. Fourth heartbeat, share God with a convicted heart. Now I'm going kind of quick. You can look through the text if you want to. We've studied through it before, but I don't want to get stoned in the parking lot for going too long, so I'm going quick. Share God with a convicted heart. I had Wayne read the sermon that Peter gave because he gave the information about Jesus being the answer and him being the fulfillment of the prophets and Jesus being the answer, and he did it with a convicted heart. He was in the living room of a Gentile. What are two things you knew about Jews? They don't invite Gentiles into their house and they don't go into Gentiles' houses. You don't do that. But he got out of his comfort zone and he went where God wanted him to go, and he spoke with conviction, just like he did on the day of Pentecost, to a group of people who in many people's thinking would not be able to receive salvation. And he went with God and he spoke with conviction. We have to share our faith with conviction. We can't share our faith reluctantly, haphazardly. We have to be convicted when we speak to people about God, because they will sense our sincerity, our conviction, our commitment in the way we present that message. Be convicted. He shared it with conviction. When I share my faith and you share your faith, how are we supposed to share it? Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. We're supposed to speak the truth in love. And when he's talking about Jesus, what does he say about Jesus? He says, Jesus went about doing what was good. Kind of interesting, because I'm a Greek guy that likes to look at words. But there's two words for good. One is agathos, which means good, doing something good. And kalos means doing something good in a loving way. Guess what word he uses to describe Jesus going about and doing good? Doing something good in a loving way. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, when he tells us to do good, guess what word he picks? Go about doing good in a loving way. We're supposed to do good, not just do good, but we're supposed to do good in a loving way. A lot of people do good, but they ain't too loving about it, right? Have you ever met any Christians that did good, but they weren't too kind, nice, a little rough around the edges? Some of y'all are chuckling. Maybe you're looking in the mirror. Okay, anyway. He speaks with conviction. And obey God with a surrendered heart. So the Holy Spirit falls on them. It only does it two times in Acts. On the day of Pentecost to the Jews. Here with Cornelius on the Gentiles. God is having His Spirit fall on them to show that the gospel is for them. The new covenant is coming. He does it those two times. It's not done any other time. The only time it was needed. That's significant. And when Peter sees that, it's all a God thing. It's very evident that God is making it clear that now it's time for the Gentiles. God's no respecter of persons. The gospel is for everyone. And he says, can anyone forbid that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they asked him to stay a few days because they wanted to be rooted in their understanding. And they're converted. Baptism is the moment that we surrender ourselves to God. It's a believer's wedding ceremony. It's when we say, 2 Corinthians 5:15, Christ died so that you will not live for yourselves, but for Him who died for you. I'm not going to live for me anymore. I'm going to live for you. It's not my life, it's your life. It's not my family, it's your family. We're surrendering everything. Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you've got to count the cost. Verse 33 of Luke chapter 14, he says, you must give up everything to be my disciple. Total surrender. You can't take anything with you. You've got to come to God with empty hands and give your whole life to Him to be His disciple. It's about a surrendered heart. The heartbeat of the church. Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it, everything you do flows from it, the NIV says. Other translations say, out of it flows the wellspring of life. Your heart is important. Your heart is essential. It's significant to God. What condition is your heart? When Kendall was very small, Dee Dee took him to the doctor, and he was listening to his heart. Kendall asked what the thing around that he was listening, what it was called, and he said a stethoscope. And he stuck the pieces in the ears. Dee Dee was with him. And the doctor put his stethoscope up to Kendall's heart and said, do you hear that? And Kendall said, yeah, Jesus is in my heart. Another young man said, the doctor asked, what do you hear? And he said, Jesus is knocking on my heart. What's in your heart? What's the beat of your heart like? When I was senior in high school, I had a problem with my heart. My heart rate dropped down to 10 beats a minute. Had to have a pacemaker put in. Had it for years. And my dad, every night, would come in the room while I was asleep, and he would check my pulse just to make sure I was still clicking. Somebody cared, right? But why did he do that? Because that heartbeat was important, significant. Wanted to make sure my heart was beating, the pacemaker was doing its job, and he cared, right? You need to care about your heart. What Scripture is telling us this morning is God, most of all, wants you to have the right kind of heart. Hey, God doesn't judge by the outward appearance. He judges, He's looking for what? David's life tells us the heart. He says in Joel, rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. God wants you to have the right kind of heart. You're here worshiping God this morning. You can go through the motions and not have any heart. You can fake everybody else out and have the wrong kind of heart condition. I mean, I'll do it sometime. I've done it before. But show you all the descriptions of the heart in Scripture. A lot of them are bad. Severed heart, hard heart, rebellious heart. God wants us to have a good heart, a fruitful heart. The heart that's in the right kind of condition. And here in this text we see revealing to us, have a devoted heart, have an open heart, have a ready heart, have a convicted heart, have a surrendered heart. What's your heart condition? I saw a bunch of guys riding bikes yesterday, and they stop at convenience stores a lot of times. And I was getting some gas, and guys were going in, and a couple of them, when they first pulled up on their bike, they stopped, and what did they do? Others were looking at their watches. These guys must be like me. They don't like all the watch stuff. Checking what condition, how's their heart beating? What about you? Are you alive in Christ? Has your heart responded in faith by believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized into Christ? If not, why not today? Don't wait any longer. Because God will lead you on a journey and give you a heart and make you enjoy abundant living. Let's just don't go to church. Let's be the church. Let's have the kind of heart God desires. Because once you have that kind of heart, God will do incredible things in your life. He's just waiting for you to get the right beat. And He's slowing some of us down. and He's building some of us up, and He's working because He wants us to live the abundant life, to enjoy Christianity to its fullest, to have holiness through and through. And He can't do that unless we got the right kind of hearts. You want to place membership with a church that trying to be what God wants us to be as His church? Have you lost heart? Have you lost your first love? Are you a Christian and you've slipped away? Make things right today as we stand and sing.
This morning I'm going to be reading about the arrest of Jesus before he was crucified and after he had instituted what we would call the Lord's Supper. I'm going to be reading from John chapter 18, beginning with verse 2. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came into the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said, and Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. If you're looking for me, let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of these you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Ananias, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest. So we see the beginning of the crucifixion. We know about the institution at the Passover, where he asked us to partake of the Lord's Supper. So at this time, let us think about Jesus' body as it's hanging there after being beaten, and it was very bleedy and sore. So let us think of this bread as we pray. Father, we thank you for the time we have to study from your word. We thank you for the message we heard today that helps us to know that our heartbeat for you is so critical and so important. And as we remember Jesus and how he died, we want to thank you for the remembrance that we take on the first day of every week. So we pray now, Lord, as we take this bread, which is symbolic of that body, help us do so in a pleasing way. In his name we say, amen. Our Father, as we continue to remember that sad day, that cruel day, when Jesus hung on that cross, when they cut his body open and bled and water and blood came pouring out, helps us to remember what he did for us, each individual person, for us, for me, for those of my friends, for those in the church, for those who have followed you. So we thank you again, Lord, for what Christ did. These things we ask in your name.
Just as a reminder, if you'll take a card from the pew in front of you, like Justin asked earlier, or in case you didn't hear, fill it out. If you're in the main auditorium, if you'll pass it outwards. If you're in one of the side rooms, if you'll pass it inwards, someone will come and either someone or some two will come and pick it up at this time. If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend. Trust in his promises grand. Sing and you'll be happy today. Press along to the goal. Trust in him who leadeth the way. He is keeping your soul. Let the world know where you belong. Look to Jesus and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky. It seems the fortunes of earth frown and pass us by. There are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust him each day, we shall have pleasure untold. Sing and you'll be happy today. Press along to the goal. Trust in him who leadeth the way. He is keeping your soul. Let the world know where you belong. Look to Jesus and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today.
In just a few minutes, a few moments, I'll offer the prayer for the contribution and dismiss the online service. But before I do that, if you're viewing us online, we want you to know that we're pleased that you have taken the opportunity to visit with us today. And now for our contribution. During these times that we're in, we're not passing the plate each Sunday, but you can have the opportunity, but there's a box in the back that you can put your contribution in, a slot in the door, in the window, and then also you can mail it in. Would you bow with me now as we're dismissed? Our Father and our God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your church. Father, we are especially thankful for all those spiritual ways that you bless our lives, and also, Father, for the material things that you've given us. We're grateful to you for our homes, our jobs, our families, the means of support. Pray now that as we make this contribution to you, that it would be pleasing to you and that it would glorify your name. Dismiss us now, Father, for it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now that we're offline, there's a few announcements that we'd like